This is Unqualified Parenting.
If you're looking for tips on parenting,
relationships,
self-care,
or just need someone to relate to,
you've come to the right place.
We may be unqualified,
but our info is anything but.
It's a show full of parenting failures,
parenting wins,
and some amazing guests.
I'm Jen, a full-time bio mom and part-time stepmom.
And I'm Cody, a dad who recently remarried and has full custody of his daughter.
And we're here to bring you our unique perspectives from our two very different blended families.
Hello, Jen.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
That was weird. Why'd you pause?
Because I'm tired.
I'm tired too. I feel like we should have just named the podcast I'm Tired.
Yeah.
And it still would have worked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would have been great. Why are you tired?
Well, I mean, I did party two nights in a row with friends. Had my...
Mikkel partied two nights in a row with friends, and she's also very tired.
And then last night, my three-year-old had nightmares and woke up multiple times, so... The night that I was going to catch up on my sleep before the weekday was a big fat N-O.
Yay.
Yay. Nightmares. But it was a fun weekend, so.
Nightmares brought to you by.
Cinnamon.
Sure. How are you? Besides tired.
I'm good.
I feel like nothing has happened to me in the 2 weeks since we've seen each other. So it's like a blur. Like I have no idea.
I'm just like anything. Sick of the COVID shit.
Yeah.
I'm sick of the numbers getting bigger and
like so the masks much, so much bigger.
Back.
Like we had a day here in Utah where we beat our record by what? Like
275%. Yeah.
And then the next day.
It even beat it. Even, yeah. Again,
and then the and day then, after yep. that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just like, God
Stop.
Damn.
Stop.
Yeah. It sucks. I got my booster.
Nice.
I'm all boosted.
Did you get sick or anything?
It did. It kind of kicked my trash. The first two vaccines. I had like a mild headache. Mm. This one, I like woke up and I was like, oh, I'm feeling and like my back, upper back hurt. My ribs hurt.
Mm.
And I was all like achy and my arm hurt really bad.
Oh yeah, my arm hurt.
And then I'm like trying to just relax and take it easy at home. And we have a giant mastiff. You know, she's almost 130 pounds and she wants to be right on top of you. I can't nap and watch The Price is Right with the giant mastiff breathing in my face.
Everyone's favorite show.
That's like everyone's stay-home sick show.
It is.
It is. Like it would be Price is Right, and then Family Feud would come on, and then Days of Our Lives.
My grandpa was on Price is Right.
Really?
Yeah, he won a big electric keyboard that was like had a stand cool. with it. It was like $1,000 electric keyboard.
That's cool.
He doesn't play, but...
He's like, sweet.
I had fun with that when I was a kid because it made all the weird noises.
They came to Utah to film once down at the university. And I wanted to go that. So bad. Because, yeah, you just get picked randomly yeah. out of the crowd to come
and
up.
He and he got to go up and do it. It was
there's
cool.
There's a documentary about this guy who's like, he always wins on Price. He knows everything. He knows every game. He knows every price he studied. And he's gotten up a lot because it's all random
yeah.
pick. And so, like, if he's in the audience, people, like, look at him, and he'll be like, you got to do this. And he's, like, right on, like, the scent every time. And it's totally fair. Like,
awesome.
Like the rules are totally fair. Contestants are like, what should I do? He's like, this. And when the grandpa, it's like,
what
welcome
cool
to Price
bro.
Is Right. I want one of those, the hikers, you know, the little mountain guy.
Oh, Yodely.
I want one of those in my house to wake me up
How
every day.
How the fuck do I remember that? I haven't seen the show in like years.
Well, thinking about all those years, our kids are growing up.
Yeah.
And if we can understand them a little bit better, it makes raising them a lot easier.
Yeah. Plus, we've been heavily focusing on their futures.
Yep.
Three episodes in a row, adulting. But one thing that you can never replace or fix later is their
Mazda.
Exactly. Their childhood.
Yeah.
If you don't give them a loving, fun, cool childhood, you can't go back and fix that
They're
later.
They're going to resent you for life.
And you're going to kick yourself in
the
butt.
This is the whole reason the whole like therapy profession exists.
Yeah.
Is children not getting a loving childhood.
Yeah. Which, I mean, we want to set them up for success, but... In the end, like, make sure they feel loved.
Yeah.
Now. Not 5 years from now when they've proved, are you proud of me yet, Daddy?
The default every night should be, we might not get along. Are they fed? Are they clothed? Are they safe? That's it. That's the default. And then everything else above that is where you build those childhood memories.
Yeah. And even if you're mad at them, you can still say, I love you, but I'm really disappointed right now and I need some space. And a lot of people look at that anger as like caving into them or giving them like some positive reinforcement. But no, your love should be unconditional.
Yeah.
Always.
Always.
Doesn't matter how mad you are. And they should feel that too.
There's a lot of times where I've like laid into Aubrey because she did something totally wrong, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, wow, you really, you know. And I'll turn around and come here. Let me give you a hug, you know. And then she just bawls her eyes out and we talk about solutions and go from there.
Yeah, that's a constructive way of handling it. So that brings us to our subject, which is the five love languages of children.
Now, I've heard of the five love languages for adults.
They're the same.
Okay.
It's by Gary Chapman. He has a PhD. I hope most of our listeners have heard of the five love languages. We've referenced them before.
If not, give us a brief overview.
Yeah, they're life-changing. This one, he teamed up with Ross Campbell because he is like a child. He's written other books. I don't remember what he is, unfortunately, but he's some sort of pediatric something or other. So the five love languages are as follow. Words of affirmation, which is complimenting them, express appreciation, send a text, saying I love you, telling them you're proud of them, actively listening, slipping them a note in their lunchbox. Like, it's words.
So are these, because there's both giving and receiving when it comes to love languages,
mm-hmm.
right? Because I could absolutely love having people spend time with me,
mm-hmm.
but maybe I don't like giving that as a gift. Maybe I like giving words of affirmation as a gift.
Yeah.
Can you have two love languages?
Yeah. It's everyone needs all five. Yeah. Everyone. It's just everyone has a dominant one. And if they're not receiving their dominant one, even if they're receiving all the other four, your child will not feel loved by
you. What's
your
dominant one?
Acts of service.
Mine's gift cards.
Just gift cards, not gift cards. Not gifts, just gift cards.
Yeah, when people give me gift cards, I love them.
Is yours gifts?
Mine is gifts and secondary spending time.
Mine's time is secondary for sure.
Like if Mikkel sat down and was like, hey, let's boot up a video game, let's play, it would blow my mind and it would make my week. Because she wants nothing to do with them.
Jump on her immediately. So acts of service is the next one. And that's, you know, helping someone clean their room, running an errand for someone when they're too busy, making them a meal, cleaning their car, you know, like acts of service.
Yeah, picking up the ball if they drop the ball. Like, mm-hmm. hey, you didn't put a bag in the garbage bag, but I got you.
Or like yesterday, for example, because my husband's is acts of service. It's actually pretty rare for couples to have the same love languages. Usually they don't. We just happen to. But I accidentally grabbed the wrong salsa at the store. And I can only eat a handful of things. Chips and salsa is one of them because of my stupid COVID parosmia. And I was like, I don't even know what the fuck to eat now because that's what I was going to eat for dinner. And he's like, I'll go. I'll just go grab it. And I stayed here with Finley and he immediately went and grabbed it for me, got my favorite drink that I can drink right now, surprised me with it. So, I mean, that's a little bit gifts, but really it's acts of service because he ran to the store for me, got me what I needed to take care of me. Physical touch, kind of self-explanatory, which I have a big thing about dads on that I want to bring up. Gifts, giving someone gifts, and quality time. Now, quality time is not watching TV together. Quality time is having dinner together without your screen in your face. Quality time is, I mean, it can be watching TV together, but that's not really undivided attention. And you need undivided attention for at least a little bit.
Quality time, I always say, is just interaction.
Yeah.
Right? If we're watching a TV show and we're silent, we're not interacting, that's not quality time.
Yeah. You do need bouts of undivided attention with your kids. Like, they need to know, especially when you get home, They actually talk about this in the book. Again, this is the Five Love Languages of Children book, Gary Chapman, Ross Campbell. They're amazing. So when you're on your way home and you have a toddler, especially, as soon as you walk in the door, they are like, especially right there, with dads, arms for some up. Reason, they're like, hey, blah, blah, blah. Let me tell you about all the things and show you my tiny scrape that you can't even see anymore that happened 6 days ago. So if you cannot give that undivided attention right when you walk in the door, park up the street.
Yeah.
Get on your phone, send some emails, make a call, do what you need to do so that when you walk into your family that evening, you can be on. You can give them that attention because they, especially for some reason, dads, like even if both parents are working parents, for some reason, they.
I think I have no idea if there's any medical proof backing this up, but I think it's like a pattern thing. In the morning, you're really needy in the morning.
Yeah.
You need food, you need to be changed, you need to be dressed and bathed and taken care
of. Teeth wash, yeah.
But around the time dads get home, that's a little bit before dinner time and there's nothing happening. You can just play and goof off.
Yeah.
And I think that's why it's dads in the evening because they're more needy. So they go to mom in the morning.
Yeah.
And then dad in the evening because let's play and hang out and rough. You know, our dog does that. Our dog is super needy. She's with Mikkel. End of the night when they're both in bed, she just wants to wrestle. But
another thing with dads is with physical touch as your daughters get older. Now the book, let me touch on this real quick. If you're a single parent, the book goes into that. Like, how can I fulfill all five love languages every day for my kid as a single parent? It goes into that. It's they understand. No matter what you've been through, they understand. Now, if you've been through a divorce or something traumatic like death, then they may need a little bit of extra in their main one. But they understand. Yeah. And you can fulfill that with, you know, parents, grandparents, things like that. But teenage girls especially, they need that affection from their dads. And that is about the age, 11, 12, 13, when dads start feeling weird giving that physical affection.
So I've brought this up probably 6 episodes ago or so. Maybe more than that because we were on an interview. I can't remember with who. And I brought it up that like Aubrey's like body is developing and she's getting older. And I don't want to be seen as a creep if we cuddle up on the couch to watch a movie.
Yeah.
But at the same time, she needs to cuddle up on the couch and watch a movie.
Yeah.
Just, and I've had like, just because she looks like an adult, it doesn't mean I'm a creep, you know?
Yeah.
And it's hard to get past that as a dad because there's, for fathers, there's a very, very thin line of what people see as appropriate, what people see isn't appropriate.
Yeah.
Like, I once told someone that Aubrey and I took a shower together when she was like 3, but we were both in our bathing suits because we just came home from swimming. Because I didn't want to be a creepy guy. You know what I mean? So I was so worried when she was 3 that like, I was like, no, we're going to keep our swimsuits on. We're just going to wash over them and then I'll get you out and we'll change you and then we'll go. But it's so hard.
Yeah, it's sad, really.
But I've had to reconcile that she's just 13, you know?
Yeah.
And so she needs those hugs and those cuddles. And for us, some of that love, that touch love is play fighting.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
They mentioned that
and
with like boys
too. Beating each other up and throwing stuff. And it's that play fighting.
That counts. Yeah. And they say that they gravitate towards getting that affection in guys from other guys at school because they're not getting it at home anymore. All of a sudden they're in this weird, awkward phase of life where they're discovering themselves and then their dad stops giving them hugs.
Yeah.
It hurts.
Takes away the love.
Yeah. So, which I actually had my stepdaughter take the love languages test because once they're a teenager, she's not quite yet, but almost, they can take it for themselves. And I think it's good to know, like, time was her top one and I think touch was second.
Yeah.
But I suck at it too because, like, with my daughter who's 3, I'm like hugs, kisses, you know, but like, she came out of me.
Yeah.
It's much easier, like breastfeeding, like we've been close. So it's easier to
have that
close. Yeah. So with Lily, we've always hugged. I've always given hugs, like when we're leaving or whatever, but that's about it. So now when I walk by her, I just ruffle her hair a lot more, and she like turns and like smiles at me. Yeah. So I can tell, like, even just that tiny bit of affection has a big impact. And it's weird because since I've been reading this, I've been noticing people's touch more. And when I was at breakfast at my parents the next morning after reading that chapter, I noticed when my dad set down my food, he like kind of squeezed my shoulder.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my dad loves me. And it's sad, but like you do notice those tiny little
things. It's not love, it's
things.
A threat.
He's like, yeah, I'm watching you. So especially young kids need the five love languages regularly because they don't know what they are yet. And you often, it'll change as they're getting older because they're still learning themselves. So until they're like in 7, 8 years old, they start having a more dominant one, which yeah. still could change. And even as a teenager, it's fairly more set, but it still could change. So it's important that they're getting all of the love languages to fill up their emotional well. And then if you have to discipline or punish or do something like that, teach them a lesson for whatever reason, it's received so much better mm-hmm. if they feel like you love them.
If I discipline Aubrey, it goes okay. If Mikkel disciplines Aubrey, it escalates.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird. And it absolutely escalates.
It could have something to do with the five love languages. Yeah. Like maybe touch is lacking or something like that. And another thing with these lessons that we're giving the kids is what they remember later. They don't remember you lecturing them and all the things that you say.
So, man, I can't even tell you how old I was, but this is how strong of a memory these things can create. I remember we were going through a really hard patch as a family. Not a lot of money. We just moved into like a new apartment and like things were really slim for a while. And I remember waking up one morning and I turned to my right and there's a toy bow and arrow with suction cup arrows. And I was like, oh my gosh. And I looked over at my brother's bed and he has one too. Awesome. I ran into my sister's room. I was like, wake up, what'd you get? And we all came out and we were like, why did we get this? What is this? And our parents go, today's kids' day.
Aww.
You guys just needed this.
That's so go so crazy. Nice.
So man, I was shooting arrows at every window I could. Like every, and I still remember that I had to have been 3 or 4, like little.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird that that's like such a strong memory, yeah. but it's because we had gone so long without having
gifts. Yeah.
You know, even candy at the store, like we just, it was just a no, you know, like we were really on the, like the bottom end. Getting that like bow and arrow for no reason.
Yeah.
Just for being, oh, it was awesome.
That's awesome. I loved it. Yeah. And you still remember it.
Still remember it.
Which is a good point because even with lessons and these negative things, what we remember is the feelings. We don't remember the words that were said. We don't remember exactly what went on, but we remember how we felt when we were in trouble or when something super exciting, like we remember those feelings and that's what sticks with us. So teaching them to be emotionally mature and to express their feelings and to talk about them, it actually affects their ability to learn because feelings are what you remember more than the lessons. So if you can feel confident while you're doing certain things, like you're going to have an easier time learning them. If you feel scared and nervous, all you're going to remember is this fucking sucks. Yeah. I'm so scared. My dad's going to yell at me. Yeah. I don't know if I'm doing this right. So research has consistently shown like it helps you learn better to be emotionally mature.
Yeah.
So it's important to teach our kids that. And on that note, they only have two ways of expressing anger, which I thought this was very interesting, and it's either verbal or behavioral.
Yeah.
If we take the verbal away by saying, don't you dare talk to me like that, do not scream in this house, go to your room, what do?
They have no choice.
They slam the door.
Yeah.
They stomp upstairs because it switches to behavioral.
Yeah. Because you've taken away the best course of action.
Yeah.
You've taken away the communication.
Yes. And even if they're yelling and they're all worked up, getting it out that way, you can teach them how to be constructive with that. Just sit and listen, like take it in. Then when they're done exploding, you can say, you can't call me a douchebag because it kind of hurts my feelings. So I'd appreciate if you didn't do that next time. But I understand where you're coming and talk through it.
With Aubrey at the end of the lecture, we're like, do you have anything you disagree with, or do you have questions on anything, or do you not agree with your punishments? And there's been one time where she's like, I don't agree with my punishment. And we've talked it out, and we came to a compromise.
Good. Yeah.
And other times she's just like, no, I know I messed up.
I'm a dick.
Yep.
So what if they don't show up behaviorally right, or
they
verbally?
They might bottle it up.
Yeah. Which comes out later as behavioral. Right. Because if they're pissed at you, they're going to do things to piss you off, like get bad grades or not clean their room for a month or leave food all over the place because they want to piss you off.
Yeah.
And they don't know how else to release this anger they feel at you because they're not allowed to stomp around the house. They're not allowed to yell. So really getting it out verbally and helping them like work through that is the best way. And they actually have in the book an anger ladder.
Oh, that's cool.
It has like the positive, where you want them to be, where it starts getting borderline not okay, and then where it just goes like off the deep end. And I thought that was very helpful to look at, but you'll have to buy the book if you want to see it. So the best way we can really motivate our children and show them a good childhood and show them love is by consistently speaking these five love languages. And if you feel uncomfortable with one, just start small. Start with ruffling their hair. If you never buy gifts, buy them a Snickers. Like, just start small, but make sure you're hitting all five of these consistently.
Yeah.
And it might sound like, I have to hit five love languages all the time.
It's easy.
It's so easy. How long does it take to squeeze someone's shoulder?
If you're a loving parent, you're doing this stuff constantly.
Yeah, all the time. Especially acts of service. Like, it's hard to show that when they're young, and it's hard for them to show it too because they can't.
We do a lot as parents. Would you like your crust cut off your sandwich? Yeah, Mom. Okay, yeah. I'll cut it off. Do you want triangles or squares? Triangles today. Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
Do you need me to cut your steak for you? Yeah. Okay, here you go.
And they're too little to do that one back. So that one's really hard as a
The best is when they start doing it.
It back. Is cute.
It's the best.
So I have a story about that because it was my birthday a couple weeks ago. And I wasn't sure what to do because it's like COVID times, three-year-old.
And your birthday was on like a
Monday. It was a Monday, yeah. So I couldn't eat the cake, but I knew my daughter would have fun making a cake. So I said, when we get home, me, you, and Daddy are going to bake a cake for my birthday and you can help make it. And she said, you should sit at the table while me and Daddy make your cake because it's for your birthday.
Bingo.
3 years old. She suggested that. It was so cute. I was totally blown away. And I'm sure it's because she sees me and Steve. That's our primary love languages. She sees us do it all the time. Another thing they don't talk about the book, but I've personally found interesting watching this. My parents' primary love languages are gifts. 100%. Holy shit. Gifts. My lowest love language is gifts. Me and Steve are acts of service, but my stepdaughter's lowest is acts of service. And I wonder if it's because our love well and our tank is so full of that one love language that we're like, I'm good.
We're good.
I don't even notice that I would need that ever because I'm constantly getting it. So you don't ever feel like you need it. They don't talk about that in the book, but I would be interested to see if like love languages from your parents, if you never match your kids because you're always fulfilling it. So they probably just feel like they don't really need that one.
So your child's love language is your failing as a parent.
Yeah, whatever one you suck the most at, that's what they're going to be.
That's what you should take away from the episode is,
But yeah, that anger thing really helped me because like with my stepdaughter, if she starts getting, well, I didn't mean that, and like pouty, we're usually like, whoa, chill out, relax. But now I know, well, I'd rather do that than when she starts slamming around her computer or like knocking stuff down.
Let her mope around for the afternoon. Who cares?
Yeah. So I'm going to start encouraging the verbal. And my three-year-old too, because sometimes when your three-year-old's yelling at you, you want to be like, nope. No, you do not. But really, it's the best way for them to get it out.
It is. That's really cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
Thanks.
If you would like to read the book, we'll put a link down in the show notes.
Yeah.
Where you can buy it on Amazon through Amazon Smile and donate some money to charity at the same time.
Yeah.
Maybe some childhood thing we can
Operation pick. Underground Railroad.
Nailed it. That's a good one. Yep. Perfect. So yeah, we will send you a link. You can buy it through Amazon Smile. If you're not aware of what that is, it's regular Amazon. It's just got a little link, and every purchase, they just send like 2% to the charity you pick.
Yeah.
It's awesome. And you can shop on it anytime.
Yeah, with anything. And this isn't sponsored at all. I just, that initial book, Five Love Languages, and then this book, like, complete game changer as a partner, as a friend, as a parent. It's just helped me in so many ways.
Well, and it kind of makes sense if you think about the people who are our social butterflies, who are always at the top, like the social ladder. They are constantly like, okay, I'm going to put together the funeral service for so and so. Okay, I've got cupcakes. We're going to throw. They're always doing stuff. That was my grandma. She was always doing stuff for everybody constantly, and she was loved by everybody.
Yeah,
because she always was there to fill in those spots. She'd take the widows out to lunch once a month. You know,
that's
in
nice.
Her church, like she was always doing that kind of stuff. And she was absolutely loved.
That's
and
awesome.
I think we should look up to those people more than we should celebrities. And
yeah.
Yeah. I'd rather look up to a good person.
Yeah.
Well, do you have something good?
A best? It's communicating needs. Which I've been working on for a while.
That's like our whole existence.
Yeah. And even with my, it's funny because I've seen a couple of TikToks lately where they're trying the respectful parenting on their toddler and the toddler's just like, and I noticed my husband's and my daughter's relationship was so good. And she always chooses daddy for all the fun stuff. Mm-hmm. And when she wants something that she knows she's going to get a no, she keeps coming to me. And then we argue. And I'm like, why? And I try to nicely explain, you can't have candy in the morning because usually you get candy through it. You know, like yeah. I try to explain it. And my husband will say, no, you can't have candy this early. And then she'll push it and he'll say, I said no. And he says it sternly and she just like, and walks away. She just gives a pouty face and I'm like, what was that? Yeah. Why can't I get just a pouty face and walk away? But instead I get, but mom, argue, blah, 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 complain, like back and forth. And I realize that sometimes respectful parenting, sometimes some kids, you just got to say no. With Lily, it works like charm. My stepdaughter, she responds super well. This daughter, sometimes she just have to fucking say no. Yeah. No. And then they're sad for 2 seconds and then they move on with their life.
Yeah. And if they don't, that's their issue.
Yeah. And even with friends, because I had a friend who I felt like we were starting to grow apart because we have complete opposite views on this pandemic and how we've handled it. But I noted, and she actually mentioned, like, I kind of feel like we're not hanging out, we're not doing anything, and I don't know what's going on with us, but I don't like it.
Yeah.
And so I thought about it, and I'm like, okay, it's not just the vaccine. Like, I could get past that, but what is it? And I realized she's been so busy as a mom that the stuff we used to do together and our shared interest, which is so big with friendships, like you don't even realize how big a shared interest is until you don't have any with that person. And then it's like, well, all we talk about is our kids, which is not a friendship. That's just like moms.
That's just daycare. Yeah. That's daycare pickup.
So I said, like, you don't do all these things that I do and that you used to do. And then some of the, like, we have to have a shared interest and we need that, like, now.
Yeah.
And she started reading this book as one of the things. And she said, you don't hang out and talk to me after school anymore. And I said, because of COVID. Like, but she has an air purifier now and she's gotten COVID. So I feel a little bit more safe. So like, I'm like, you're right. I don't spend that time with you. Yeah. And I'm sorry because I just pick up my kid and leave. And I used to talk for like 15, 20 minutes, sometimes just 10 minutes even. So we like communicated, we're not getting the quality time and we're not getting shared interest. I know that's not a love language, but still, like, And I, our relationship's so much better now.
Yeah. Well, that shared interest boosts your quality time.
Yes. Yes. Because then you have stuff to talk about.
Right. Right. It improves the quality of the quality
like
time.
Our girls' night with your wife, we have our book that we've all read, this huge book series together. They're like fucking big. Have you seen them? They're,
well, she does audiobooks. Well, so.
They're like,
I've seen the file.
Yeah, it's a big file.
It's like 7 megabytes. It's huge.
So like, and we like hung out till almost, Kayla and Lex stayed till almost 3 in the morning.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And just mostly talking about this one thing. And it's just so important. So anyway, that was kind of a huge story just to say communicating my needs better. And I feel like other people are doing it back and it's
awesome. That's good. That was really good. Yeah. Can we go back to your candy? How much candy do you have in your house?
So much candy. I have a lot. Why?
From what?
Christmas.
We have a dedicated candy drawer in our kitchen.
Uh-huh.
We don't have a junk drawer in our kitchen.
Just a candy drawer?
We have a candy drawer, though. I think we might have a problem.
Is it full?
Yeah.
Well, maybe it's better than an empty candy drawer.
Yeah. Mikkel had to like rearrange it and move it to a different drawer.
Because it was so much?
No, because it was down on the bottom and bending over to get the candy all the time. It was a chore. So we moved it up to counter height now, and now we don't have to expend any energy.
I used to love eating candy and chocolate, but 90% of it's disgusting to me now. So it just sits there.
What's your worst?
Probably that my husband noticed that I would get irritated with Finley to where I would snap at her. Instead of just saying no and walking away. Like, I kept getting to the point where we were arguing and bitching at each other. So it took somebody else to be like, did you notice that maybe that's part of your problem with your, and I'm like, mm.
And that's hard. That's
yeah, because you want to be like, fuck you.
Yeah, because you're just like, oh, what are you doing? You're just watching me fuck up?
Yeah.
It's like, couldn't you tell me before? Why are you going to tell me now?
So that's probably my worst. And then my what now is, my what next is just keep communicating and also trying to fill all 5 of those emotional wells for my kids and my husband and my friends even.
Yeah, it's good.
What's your best?
My best, I don't know. I couldn't think of a best.
What's your worst?
Okay, maybe a best. A little situation happened with Aubrey and Mikkel. And I think it helped to change the way Mikkel thinks about some things. So we were all hanging out. I don't know why everything revolves around Aubrey's period, but everything, well, it was funny because like 2 days before that, she wasn't feeling good and she was down and stuff. And I whispered to her, I was like, I think you're going to start your period. And sure enough, like,
she should get an app. They have awesome apps.
These girls don't need an app because they have like before Cody. Mikkel got her IUD, I would know the day of without even seeing her talking to her, just by the way she acted around me. And I'd be like, hey, do you need to go to Crown Burger and get a grilled cheese? And she's like, how the fuck do you know every time? And I was like, because
you're the period whisperer.
Anyways, So Aubrey wasn't feeling very good, and it was like 8:30, and she's like, Mom and Dad, I think I'm just going to go to bed. And I was like, okay, cool. Like, yeah, that's totally responsible. Do your thing. Well, Mikkel walked in there about an hour later, and Aubrey's laying in her bed watching Netflix on her computer, and she gets mad. She's like, Aubrey, you said you were going to bed, and you got your computer open. And I went, Mikkel, it's not even her bedtime.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not her bedtime at all. Well, she said she was going to bed and she went in here and she can't avoid us. And I said, Mikkel, when you go to bed, you don't go right to bed. You don't go right to sleep. You play on your phone for like 30 minutes. Cruise Instagram. I was like, that's nothing different. She said she was going to bed. She's not feeling good. She could sit in there and watch a movie.
Lily goes to bed like a half hour early all the time to talk to friends. Yeah.
So Mikkel was worried that like, oh, she'd be on her computer all night. So we just set it up to automatically turn off at bedtime. And
nice.
Yeah. So it was like, it was nice that I could solve a problem, but also that like Mikkel was kind of like, oh yeah, like we all do that. Yeah. We all say we're going to bed. And sometimes that means I'm done being around people.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to go do my own thing. And that's okay. You can do that.
Yeah.
And your kids can do that.
Yep. Yeah, there's many times where I tell both my kids, mommy's putting on her headphones now. Mm-hmm. So if you need me, you're going to have to do not yell, walk up to me and tap me on the shoulder. And usually they want to tell me something stupid. Yeah. So they yell, yeah, did you see da da da? But yeah, they're not going to walk up to me. No. But yeah, everyone needs space and alone time. And
De-veg?
Vegetables?
You don't de-veg. De-veg is when you stand up.
Veg is the de-veg.
What?
De-veg would be doing stuff.
Yeah, that's bad.
That is bad.
That's very bad. Just veg.
I apologize.
Just veg. Just veg.
Just veg.
My what next? Aubrey and I are working on communication, and we're getting there. She texted me today while she was at school, "Hey, Dad!" with an exclamation point. So I know a question's coming, because you don't just text, "Hey, Dad, how are you?" without a question coming.
What's going on in your world, Dad?
And I was like, "Hey, Bug, what's up?" And she's like, "Can I stay for the basketball game?" And I was like, "What time does it get over? Do you need a ride?" And she goes, "Oh, right, communication with a big thumbs up." she's like, "Can you pick me up?" I was like, "Yeah." And she's like, "It'll be over around now." I was like, "Okay." So the what next? Aubrey and I are working on communication. Mm-hmm. She's learning. She doesn't get to do anything that she asked me unless she has details. Like, it's super easy.
Yeah.
Like, when we had our game night, she wanted to go hang out at her friend Liv's house. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Aubrey, no. She was like, I want to go hang out with Liv. And then it was, we're going to go hang out Liv's mom's friend's house because they're having a party.
Oh.
And I was like, why are you going to your friend's mom's friend's party? And then she was like, oh, no, there's going to be no parents because the parents are going to the party and kids can't go. And I was like, okay, this whole thing.
Get your shit together.
And then she's like, can I have Asia come over? I was like, no, Aria told you we're going to game night. So there's going to be no adults here. You're welcome to go to Asia's house. And she's like struggling. And I was like, look, communication. You can't come at me an hour before we're leaving with these plans.
Yeah.
Without communicating them. I was like, tonight you can go hang out at Asia's or you can stay home and hang out with the dog. Do your thing. But I was like, next time, plan something in advance.
Yeah.
It's okay if things are last minute sometimes. But let's
have a plan.
So we're working on communication.
That's and good though.
We're slowly getting to a good part where she understands that you can't ask for things without information. It's a big deal. But yeah.
Cool.
Well, I think it does it for us today. If you would like to check out the book, Five Love Languages of Children, we'll put a link down in the show notes. If you have questions, comments, and concerns, you can hit us up at
hello@unqualifiedparenting.com
or the socials
at Unqualified Parenting
or the podcast.
Subscribe wherever you listen.
I think that does it for us, folks.
Don't forget to rate us.
You didn't do your thing.
You have survived another fortnight of parenting.
Unqualified Parenting is written, produced, edited, and hosted by Jennifer Jones and Cody Reese, with special thanks to our families and listeners for making each episode possible.